meditation will be on the Gospel of Suffering. As you know, the logic of the spiritual exercises spans 4 weeks, 4 divisions. The first being an overview of God's purpose in creating the world, reflection on our own failure to live up to the will of God by committing sin, then God becoming man, the incarnation, and his both teaching and practice of virtue that we are both to learn from and imitate. The third week of the exercises is on the Passion of Christ. And we are now beginning to reflect on Christ's passion up to his death on Calvary, and the final week of the exercises is on the resurrection and Christ's risen life, both here on earth and ever since until the dawn of eternity. I might begin by observing that our present Holy Father has published a masterful encyclical on the Christian meaning of suffering, Latin title, Salvifici Doloris, Salvific Suffering. Our reflections will be following the Church's teaching in general, and the present Holy Father's specific directives in particular. I would like to cover the following areas. First, why go into the subject of suffering, and something about the world of suffering. Then, as far as we can, enlightened by faith, answer the unanswerable question, why suffering? Then, Jesus Christ, who is defined as suffering conquered by love. Then, we are to share in the sufferings of Christ. And then, summarizing in the title we've given this meditation, the Gospel of Suffering. Why should we reflect, not just during the retreat, but not infrequently on suffering? Christ redeemed us by suffering. He better then know something about the cause of our redemption. Again, why reflect on suffering? Because suffering is inseparable from our earthly life. To be human is to suffer. Again, it is suffering that calls on the deepest resources of our faith. Our faith has been really tried, really tested, and over there, really proved. Only if we have shared in the suffering of Jesus Christ. If there is one underlying theme to the gospel that Christ came into the world to teach, is the goal. If love is the destiny, if true love is the perfection of Christian charity, then we better know that it is through suffering that we mainly both prove our love and grow in love. As I've been telling people over the years, the language of love is suffering. You really love someone if you are willing to suffer. Second area of reflection, the world of suffering. First, a definition of suffering. Suffering is the experience of pain. Specifically, suffering is the experience of something which we do not want. We therefore say, as I think we've mentioned before, pain is anything and everything contrary to the created will. And the experience of whatever is contrary to our will is suffering. These things contrary to our will may be contrary to our bodily desires. Then we have bodily suffering. Or what is contrary to our will may be contrary to our psychological desires, our emotional desires. Then we have psychological pain. And my friends, give me physical pain any day compared to pain in the emotions, pain in the feelings, pain in that part of us which we call our soul. But there is still one more, shall I call it the depth or the height of suffering, spiritual suffering. Of something that our spirit wants, the spirit that is hungry for God. As we quoted St. Augustine from his prayer, remember, O Lord, our hearts are made for thee, and they will not rest until they rest in thee. They may say without hesitation, the modern world has a concentration of suffering. We go on, and we ask ourselves, why? Why is there suffering? Either suffering in general, or our own experience of pain. Faith tells us suffering is first of all the punishment for sin. Suffering is the one who sinned. Punishment for sin in others who share in the sinner's solidarity. And again, suffering is punishment for sin in those who suffer out of love for sinners. Oh, that is a high degree of suffering. We're asking ourselves, why suffer? Suffering reveals goodness in the one who suffers. Suffering leads to conversion. Now this needs to be emphasized. And God wants to bring wayward souls back to Himself. But He wants sinners to be converted. But He wants those estranged from God to come to their senses. What does God do? The universal formula. He brings sinners to their knees to wake them up from their stupor of sin. Why suffering? Suffering reveals the true meaning of Jesus Christ. We understand Christ and Christianity only in the measure that we understand what suffering is. And we will grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and our love of Him in the measure to which we join with Him. He in His suffering and we in ours. We go on. One more question, why suffering? Suffering releases the depths of human love. That's why God became man. God became man to show us the meaning of love. So what did He do? God became man in order to show what love is and how we are to love by suffering. We go on. Jesus Christ, whom the church divines and suffering conquered by love. It is good to remind ourselves that the opposite of salvation is definitive suffering of eternal damnation. We don't begin to understand Jesus Christ and why God became man so He might be able to suffer unless we see that God became man and He suffered to save us from eternal suffering. I sure hope I'm clear. We can repeat the word save or salvation. We can in our prayers address our Lord as our Redeemer. A And we address him as Jesus, which we know means Savior. But we better realize from what we were saved, from what we were redeemed. God suffered in order to save man from eternal suffering. My confessor at Georgetown University, 3 years ago, as I was leaving the university to come to Detroit, he was dying of terminal cancer, fully conscious. It may have been the last absolution he gave before he died. I know it was the last absolution he gave me. I'll never forget. He gave me absolution, and then he said, "John, remember, never forget, it is either Jesus or hell." Isn't that perfect? That is no poetic license. That's our faith. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And he became man in order that he might be able to suffer. Why? God suffered on earth. God suffered in time to save man from suffering in the next life and suffering in eternity. As long as I live, I will never forget. John, remember, it's either hell or Jesus. Thanks. Eagle on. God became man to protect man from definitive suffering. Christianity is all about suffering. It explains the meaning of suffering, the reason for suffering. What's that? Sin. Christianity explains the purpose of suffering on the part of God and on our part to be delivered from eternal damnation. And the basis of human suffering, therefore, is sin. Let me be real clear. When we say, and the basis of all suffering is sin, and indeed, all human suffering is sin, this applies both to Jesus Christ and to us. He underwent his suffering in order that we might be spared our suffering. Why then the incarnation? To deliver us from sin and its consequences. To show us how much he loves us. I noticed in the close closet of the room that I occupy at the end of the corridor, we shall do something to retrieve how beautiful yellow. I'd say about a 7 square foot picture of St. Robert Duller. It's to this Dunman Hall? It's in the clothes closet. Now being reported. One of the great Jesuits of all times, St. Robert Donovan. A doctor of the Universal Church. Among the conferences that St. Robert Donovan gave was on something. And he told his fellow Jesuits, if you want to understand, and you better understand, if you want to understand the gravity of sin, then look at the cross. God became man to suffer and die on Calvary to teach us the horror of sin. What word shall I use? How blind the modern world is to sin. How buried in sin. How suffocated in sin. Who would have dreamt? Not the Babylonian monarch Hammurabi, 1800 years BC, at Hammurabi, carved in granite. The penalty for abortion was capital punishment for the woman who aborted and everyone who cooperated in her murder. 1800 years BC, and they called the ancient Babylonians pagan. Desperately we need to be struck by a thunderbolt to wake us up to the deadness of sin all around us. And God became man in order to show us how dreadful sin is in the eyes of God. All of this is my confrere, St. Robert Donovan. We go on. Christ suffered, as faith tells us, voluntarily, innocently, most intensely, and lovingly. He suffered voluntarily, with a voluntary and beggar's description, because God, who has a free will, God did not have to freely choose to become man. Amen. Having voluntarily chosen to become man, God did not have to become a mortal man. Having chosen to become a mortal man, God chose to become a mortal man, but absolutely innocent. Now the shred of guilt, and he chose to suffer. I hope before this conference is over, what I maybe want to teach you, or better, what I believe Christ maybe wants to teach you, and using this sinner as his instrument, is not only how this needs to be learned, not only to resign ourselves to suffering, not only not complain over the suffering that God sends into our lives, but I must say it because it's your faith and mine, that like the Son of God, we will choose when we have the option. Choose because we love God. Choose what He chose, the cross in His life, and we, the cross in our life, out of love for Him. We go on. We are to share in the sufferings of Christ. If you want to go back over some theological reflection on the meaning of Christ's passion and death. Objectively, Christ merited the graces we need to be saved by His sufferings. And this is where we Catholics better be clear about what we believe. God became man, He chose to suffer and die, so that by His death on Calvary, He might merit, win, gain, obtain. As I keep repeating every time I teach the subject of divine grace, it took the living God to become a living man, to suffer and die, to remember the graces we need to be saved. There are two monosyllables that should never be separated, and they are pain and grace. Pain experienced by God become man, in order to obtain the grace that we sinners need to avoid that everlasting suffering called by another monosyllable, hell. That's part one. Now what we mean as we reflect on our faith telling us that we are to share in Christ's suffering. Let me intensify the verb. We must share in Christ's suffering. It is no option. Secondly, if objectively, in the real order, the human race was redeemed, past tense, by Christ's voluntary acceptance of the pain He endured during His passion and death, merited the grace we need to be saved. But second, subjectively, and we've got to insert the adversity, but, sure Christ redeemed the human race and us, objectively, but subjectively, as far as we are concerned, it is not enough for Christ to have suffered and died to merit the grace we need to be saved. We must suffer in order to both receive and benefit from the graces that He won for us on Calvary. Let's make sure we keep certain monosyllables together. Pain Christ is called Jesus because he is indeed Savior. Savior from what? Savior from hell. Whatever you're going to, avoid the eternal suffering from which Christ merited the grace on Calvary to deliver us. We have no choice. We must suffer. In other words, we must experience pain. Number three. I'm analyzing from the vantage point of faith what we believe when we say that we are to share in Christ's sufferings. Number three. Our readiness to suffer is, we don't comprehend, but we better believe. Our readiness to suffer is a condition of our salvation. My dear friends in Christ, how we need to hear homilies on Sundays. I hope you agree. On the subject we are talking about. Notice, our readiness to suffer is a condition for our salvation. God in his mysterious providence, he knows, he knew from all eternity, whom he would create, how much we could take, and how much he would demand as a condition for our salvation. Some people are called upon to suffer more, others less. Some live a longer life. But you're about to see how safe I am. I feel safe. I don't know, but I think. Right. I know I'm older than most of you. Maybe I haven't checked the chronology. All of you. When I was congratulated with my Jubilee as a Jesuit, 50 years of the Society of Jesus. John, make a comment about your 50 years in the Society. Oh, what a commentary I could have made. But I told him the honest truth. I cannot imagine 50 happier years. He blanched. He couldn't believe it. He knows Arthur, because I also know the provincial. Would you please explain? Very simple. I've learned the secret of happiness is to love the cross. Hey, you've got it made. And of course, what I really mean is, the secret of happiness is to love my crucified God. It all makes sense. When I tell people there are no problems in life, they blink. What's all the worry? What's all the anxiety about? I feel safe in saying this. Having finished my own graduate studies in psychology, I really believe if our own United States of Americans really believed, really believed, what we are here saying during this meditation, the psychiatric profession would go out of business. As I know from counseling my share of psychiatrists. That is number three. Our readiness to suffer is a condition for our salvation. Number four. Our suffering are not only redemptive for ourselves, they are redemptive for others. Oh, what a precious jewel of our faith this is. A 20, 50, 100 carat diamond. It is not just our own salvation that is assured by our readiness to suffer. It is that we cooperate. What a gift. We cooperate with Jesus Christ in the salvation of the souls of others. Especially, how this needs to be said. We cooperate in the salvation of the souls of those who are nearest and dearest to us. In this life, and if they've gone into eternity, in the life to come. Fifth and closing observation, in reflecting on not just our ability to share in Christ's suffering, but, as I said, our duty. Our sufferings make us more like Christ. I repeat the word Christ several times. Our sufferings make us more like Christ. Unite us with Christ. Make us cooperate in Christ's work of redemption. We thus complete what a burden. And we have the warrant of divine revelation in St. Paul for making the statement. We thus, by our suffering, complete Christ's redemptive mission of saving the world. There's a profound sense in which God not only became man, which he did, Jesus of Nazareth, but, and I mark my language, he became part of humanity so that suffering humanity might cooperate for the Son of God and thus cooperate in the salvation of the human race. Our closing reflection on the gospel of suffering. First, the perfect example of how we are to cooperate with Christ in suffering is his mother. For me, over the years, on among the most satisfying retreats I've given, 8 days were Marian retreats, 8 days all on Marian. Deep suffering for the divine Son. She was not scourged or crowned with thorns. She was not nailed to the cross. But she suffered, and the church tells us, Christ underwent his passion, and she underwent her compassion in union with her Son. We read the gospel, and not just the passion of it, and note the stress that Christ makes on the need for suffering if we're going to be his disciples. And suffering, notice the word suffering that Christ foretold his followers would have to experience was a suffering from those as Christ expressed his in our own household. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, father-in-law against son-in-law. Christ being the innocent Lamb of God, he could not suffer from within because he was sinless. Christ could not have a disease or a virus. All the suffering of Christ had to be inflicted from outside of him. That's why he always, if we're going to be theologically correct, must speak of the passion of Christ. Their posthume in Latin means suffering, of course, but suffering caused from outside of the one who suffers. The most searing pain he will have to experience, I know. I wouldn't dare talk this way unless I was talking from experience. The most searing pain he will have to experience if we really want to follow Jesus Christ with complete fidelity is from outside of ourselves the unacceptance, the coldness, the indifference, the rejection, the opposition, the studied, strategic persecution. In other words, Christ's suffering came from his enemies. And there is one thing that Christ makes clear. Go back. Start with the first verses of Matthew and into the last verses of John. And there is one thing that runs through the Gospels. It is the need for following Christ and not be crushed by a Christless world. And not only to accept what a world that does not believe in Christ will do to us, but with quiet serenity, love it. This is the most critical stage. Several popes have said this, the most critical period in the church's history is the second half of the 20th century. like her founder, the church is going through her passion. And my friends, the church, pardon the grammar, is us. We love it, and we don't have to ask for it. Lord Jesus, whatever else you wanted to teach us, during your mortal stay on earth, it was that no one can be your disciple unless like you and with you he carries his cross. Give us here, Jesus, a deep, abiding, patient, loving desire to embrace the cross, so that suffering with you, you and your passion, and me and others, might join you.